الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we send the peace and the blessings, and ask Allah to exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We continue with the sharh of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah to Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And we were dealing last session with the five keys of the unseen. Can anyone be kind enough to refresh our memories with that information? Yes.
Sending the rain. And what is there in the womb?
Ayuha of the mothers, the wombs of the females,
And then fourth one, in the future what the soul will learn. Fifth one, where the soul will die.
MashaAllah. Yeah. Ahsant. And these are all, they all came together in one verse in Surah
Luqman.
The last verse of the Surah actually. So how you easily remember, it's the last verse of the Surah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'a wa yunazzilu al-ghayth ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت إن الله عليم خبير. And all this is in the context of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and particularly khabir, the all aware, the all acquainted. And jazakallahu khair, Mr. Ibrahim, Muhammad Ibrahim. We stopped then last at the third ayah that the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah quoted as an evidence for the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alaykum salam. It is in Surah Fatir, verse 11. Wa alaykum salam, ahlan. وَمَا تَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنْثَى وَلَا تَضَعُ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ وَمَا تَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنْثَى وَلَا تَضَعُ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ. And no female conceives a child, becomes pregnant, nor does it deliver except with the knowledge of Allah. So the beginning and the end, and all that is in between, the knowledge is with Allah. إلا بعلمه, except with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, وَمَا نَافِيَ, مَا here grammatically comes as a negation. Okay, يعني in English, there isn't. Isn't that negation? There isn't a single thing except that. So although it is negation, it is trying to affirm something. Right. Untha fa'il, untha is the doer of the action here, like the maybe the subject of the verb, of the sentence. تحمل لكنه معرب بضم مقدر على آخره من ظهورها اشتغال المحل بحركة حرف الجر زائد. This is very sophisticated grammar, but anyways, because untha, usually the grammar, whenever the thing ends is مرفوع, it should end with a ضمة. You say أكل الرجل التفاحة. The man ate the apple. Now the doer of the action is the man. It must end with a dhamma. You must say رجل. If you say أكل الرجل التفاحة, wrong. If you say أكل الرجل التفاحة, also wrong. وعليكم السلام. You must say أكل الرجل التفاحة. Now this is grammar. If you've ever learned this, you know what I'm saying. Anyways, it's supposed to end with a dhamma. But now أنثى ends with an alif maqsura and an alif, and an alif cannot accommodate a dhamma. You cannot say unthau. Okay, so it is hidden, it is there understood grammatically, but the letter cannot accommodate it. This is grammar, but just in case you know this, if not, as if I didn't say anything. Okay, just forget, let it go from here out of this one. Maybe I just wasted your time. Allah musta'an. Al-Muhim, the Shaykh said, وَهُنَا إِشْكَال كَيْفَ نَقُول كَيْفَ تَقُول زَائِد وَلَيْسَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ زَائِد. He is dealing again with the grammar. We will bypass that. طيب. وَقَوْلُهُ مِنْ أُنْثَى أَيْ يَشْمَلُ أَيِّ أُنْثَى سَوَاءٌ آدَمِيَّةٌ أَوْ حَيَوَانِيَّةٌ أُخْرَى. From there isn't a single female. He said this is both encompassing both آدمية, from Adam, يعني from the children of Adam, a human being, وحيوانية, from حيوان, which is animal. A الذي يحمل حيوانا واضح أنه داخل في الآية. So any female that is conceives, even if it's an animal, it is included in the ayah, because the ayah said أنثى. And so untha encompasses everything that is female, whether human beings or otherwise. كَبَقَرَ وَبَعِيرُ وَشَاتٍ, such as a cow or a camel, or she-camel of course, وَشَاتٍ, and so forth. وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ, and whatever is the likes. وَيَدْخُلُ فِي ذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَحْمِلُ الْبَيْتِ قَالْطُيُورِ لِأَنَّ الْبَيْتِ فِي جَوْفِ الطَّائِرِ حَمِلٍ. The Shaykh said that also includes those that carry eggs. Because birds, the birds that carry eggs, like chicken and otherwise, them having eggs within them is also considered a form of pregnancy. So even that is included. So, نعم. وَلَا تَضَعُ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ فَابْتِدَاءِ الْحَمِلِ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ وَانْتِهَاءُ وَخُرُوجُ الْجَنِينِ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِ. And it does not, that female does not deliver except with the knowledge of Allah. So the Shaykh said, so the beginning of the conceiving the child, or the, you know, offspring, is by the knowledge of Allah. And the end of the session, which is the delivery of the child, is by the knowledge of Allah. And of course, that is in between, is also with the knowledge of Allah. But this was mentioned here, the beginning and the end, and of course what is in between is understood to be known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is that ayah. Al-ayah al-rabi'ah, the fourth one that was quoted by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, again, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, if you get the actual book, Al-Aqid al-Wasitiyah, it's as big as this phone. The actual book, and it is thinner. It's a tiny little book, you know, like Husn al-Muslim, the Muslim Fortress. It is smaller than that. He just mentioned, يعني, the intro, which is what Ahl-Sunnah al-Jama'ah believe, and he just quoted the verses. He just enumerated the verses. Then he enumerated the narrations. Then he mentioned some things pertaining to Ahl-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, and that's it. The book is actually very tiny, and this was the result of the sharh of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. So you will see that the Shaykh al-Islam will be just quoting the verses, and then the explanation is done by the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Otherwise the book is much smaller, which is easy to memorize if you wish to memorize it, because it's just verses. And even if you don't speak Arabic, you can just memorize the verses, and of course familiarize yourself with the meaning in the language that you speak. If it's English, then that's what it is. الآية الرابعة قوله لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. This is in Surah Al-Talaq, verse 12. That you may know that Allah has power over all things, and Allah has encompassed all things in His knowledge. Allah has power over all things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed all things with His knowledge. تفضل. لتعلموا اللام للتعليل. This is a lamb for the reason why. For example, you say, I did this because I was hungry. So because here is like the reason why you did something. In the language, the Arabic language, lam, لتعلموا, so that you may know. So this is the reason. اللام للتعليل لأن الله قال الله الذي خلق سبع سماوات ومن الأرض مثلهن يتنزل الأمر بينهن لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير. فقد نعم, let me give you the translation. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is He who created the heavens, the seven heavens, and from the earth the like thereof. The command, His commands descends between them, so that you may know that Allah has power over all things. So that you may know that Allah has power over all things. The Shaykh said, فَقَدْ خَلَقَ هَذِي السَّمَوَاتِ السَّبْعِ وَالْأَرَضِينَ السَّبْعِ وَأَعْلَمَنَا بِذَلِكْ لِنَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So Allah has created the seven heavens, and equivalent to them are the seven earths. The actual earth is actually also seven layers. Because of this verse and other narrations from Prophet ﷺ said, whomever takes a land by means of oppression, then Allah will make the seven earths encompass him on the day of judgment as means of punishment for what he took wrongfully in this dunya. Now, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, and He gave us knowledge of that, so we may know that Allah has power over all things. But then here, let me just give a little time out from the dars and inject something that is relevant to da'wah. We must have a proper understanding of this concept, because if we don't, we may get in trouble one day if we're trying to invite someone who's non-Muslim to Islam. If someone, and this is something that was innovated by the philosophers, and so we should have a response for that. Because you tell a Christian, alaykum salam, you tell a Christian, listen man, There's no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become a human being. There's no way that Allah will beget a son. Now to you, this is just the most logical thing in the world. But he will turn around and tell you, why? Isn't God able to do all things? Isn't Allah able to do all things? So then why? What's the big deal? Why can't he become a man? What's your problem? What do you say? There are two ways to answer this. And both of them are, as they call him, يعني الرد المفهم, the charcoaling refutation. You burn him. على طول. But you must know what it is. Two ways to refute this. What do you say? He tells you God is able to do all things. Yes, God, if He wants, He can become a man. And He could die for our sins. Why are you trying to limit God? Don't you believe that God can do all things? You say, yeah, but He can't do that. Why? So you can't, you know, you can't give Him that answer. Huh? Anyone? Just pitch in something.
You cannot mix with His creation.
Why? Huh? He tell you He can. Yeah. He can do all things.
He doesn't want to come to them.
I agree, but you cannot convince a disbeliever with that. He will say, you believe, I believe God can do all things.
Let's say I made a computer.
Hey.
Should I need to be a computer to just make a practice for me?
No.
No, because I create, I don't want to be a computer.
That's right. But let's say you had the ability. Let's say you were such a person that you had the ability to become a PC. Who could tell you no?
I think as you have seen, the whole universe and all, it's very big. Even the kursi is so small, it is only a ring in the desert.
Tayyip.
So we are talking about a huge thing.
Mm.
And our insan and all these earthly things are very small. Why should God come to such a small level? It doesn't add value.
Yes, this is what we believe.
Yeah.
But he has another ideology. His ideology that this is the ultimate grace of God. God is so loving that He went out of His way. He did that which is usually not done. And since He's able to do all things, no one can stop Him from doing that. So I'll give you the answer because it looks like it's going to be at the Fajr. There are two ways to answer this. Okay? The first one, the first thing that you should say is, you tell this person, God can only do things that are consistent with Him being God. If God does something that doesn't make Him God, then He cannot do it anymore. You understand? Meaning, you must accompany wisdom. Say, we believe that God can do all things and that Allah is the most wise. So Allah does not do anything unless wisdom is involved in it. There's nothing that is being done with wisdom being independent. So if God was to make Himself something other than God, then that becomes impossible, because then you destroy the whole concept of God. So you tell him, is God the ever-living? Is God the ever-living? He will tell you, yes, God is the ever-living. So how could God die? God cannot do something that will not make Him God anymore. Otherwise, you don't have a definition for God. You see what I'm saying? That's the first thing that you establish. That whatever God does is inconsistent with God being God. The divine qualities of God must remain, otherwise we no longer have a God. Then the atheist has an evidence against you. So then you tell him, yes, God is able to do all things that are consistent with Him being God. And God becoming a man is not consistent with Him being a God. In the Bible, in Numbers, the book of Numbers chapter 23 verse 19, it says, God is not a man. God is not a man. So it is proven in your scripture that God cannot become a man, because that goes against the divine being of God. So when you make Him a man, He's no longer God. So we say God can do all things that are consistent with Him being God. Otherwise, if God is able to do all things and He does something that doesn't make Him God anymore, then you don't have a God anymore. Is that clear? That's the first thing you say. The second thing that you say to these people is what the philosophers, because this is what the philosophers have brought. They said, look, they told the Christians, those who didn't believe, atheists, they told the Christians, you say that God can do all things. They said, yes. They said, can God create a rock that is too heavy for Him to carry? The Christian was dumbfounded. Can God create a rock that is too heavy for Him to carry? What are you going to say? Yes? He's no longer God. How is he going to create a rock that he cannot carry? Hypothetically speaking. If you say no, then God cannot do all things. You see what I'm saying? So then we go back to the principle, is that whatever God does is inconsistent with God being the divine being. He has qualities that you cannot take away. Once you take him away, then you no longer have a God. So this is one of the ways that you deal with this issue. The second way, it went away while I was dealing with the first way. I had another one, but I don't know what happened to it. The first one was, you tell him.
That was the second way. You just
I did?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, you did.
Okay, yes. No, but there was then, I guess, a third one. Yeah. There's another one.
Two.
I may remember, there's another one also. The first one is then, but let me make sure that everybody understands. God can only do things that are consistent with Him being God.
If he falls outside, then He's not God.
No longer God. So then you no longer have a definition of God, so our talk is vain.
Yeah.
We're getting nowhere with you. So we have no discussion. Because you have made God other than God. And we say that this is impossible, because God must remain Himself. And the other thing then is?
Ever-living.
Can He create something like a rock which He cannot carry?
Right.
God cannot create something that's beyond His own ability to control.
Yeah, but see, that one is involved in the first one. It's part of the first one. Subhanallah. Anyways,
you've mingled the two then.
I've mingled the two. No, but there's another one I think that is totally, these two are related.
Okay.
And there's a whole other independent reputation, which I'm not remembering right now.
The thing is, they're talking about the attributes, like attribute of God is not to die.
Mm-hmm.
If he becomes a human being, he has to die, so he cannot have an attribute which is negates itself.
Right.
That was the concept, right?
Right.
So like another attribute is he can do everything, so he can create rocks which are bigger than himself.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That
the first same as the first.
Yeah, there was another thing I lost. But anyways, we're not going to... If I remember, inshallah, I will... Or through the mailing list, we will deal with this later. Subhanallah. Tayyib. Al-Muhim, I don't know where I was. Let me go back here. Let's continue. Al-Qudra wasfun yatamakkan bihi al-fa'il min al-fa'li bidun ajiz. Qudra... which يعني, could be translated into more than one English word. It could be ability or power. You know, قدرة. You know, the قدير. All able, all capable. The ability, the means, the power to do things. وصف يتمكن به الفاعل من الفعل بدون عجز is a description or an attribute where the doer of the action is able to do whatever he wishes without any deficiency, without anything objecting. The ability for the doer to do whatever he wishes without anything stopping that from taking place. This is al-qudra.
Qaf.
Aywa, qudra. فهو على كل شيء قدير يقدر على إيجاد المعدوم وعلى إعدام الموجود. So he is able to do all things. He has power over all things. So he is able to bring that which is non-existing and he's able to terminate that which exists. The both ways. فالسماوات والأرض كانت معدومة فخلقها الله عز وجل وأوجدها على هذا النظام البديع. The Sheikh said, so the heavens and the earth did not exist. Was something that did not exist, not existing. There was no such thing as the heavens and the earth. Right? Does everybody know that? There was, in the beginning, there was Allah and nothing else. Nothing else. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen. Then after the pen, the heavens and the earth, and then Adam and so forth. So there was a sequence of the creation, obviously. And at one point, there was absolutely nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the heavens and the earth that we are currently inhabiting were made by Allah from nothing. At some point, there was nothing. And now look around you. You say, this should tell you that Allah is able to do all things. I mean, look at this universe. Just ponder for a second, even when you drive in your car, you look, you know, sometimes you see the moon and you see the stars and this vast skies and the trees and everything that is just working in such an organized, consistent fashion as an indication about the omnipotence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's power, ability to do all things. Where everything does is in yani harmony, functioning, you know, any machine, huh? You get a machine, you need to, you know, you need maintenance. You need to update some, you know, upgrade some things in it to continue to function properly. The human being, ourselves, you know, you may be healthy one day, you get sick the other day. You know, everything is in need of something to remain, you know, moving. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-samad, the one al-qayyum, the one that everyone depends on. So He, Azza wa Jal, is in no need of these things. Whereas the creation is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the heavens and the earth, to the children of Adam, to the animals, everything depends on Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the independent from everything. فَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ وَأَوْجَدَهَا عَلَى هَذَا النِّظَامِ الْبَدِيعِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, and He fashioned it in this magnificent style. Or, نعم. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. And that Allah has encompassed everything in His knowledge. كُلَّ شَيْءٍ الصَّغِيرٍ وَالْكَبِيرٍ. كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, everything. The small and the big. وَالْمُتَعَلِّقْ بِفِعْلِهِ أَوْ بِفِعْلِ عِبَادِهِ. And that which is in reference to Allah's actions or the actions of His servants in terms of knowledge. وَالْمَاضِي وَاللَّاحِقْ وَالْحَاضِرْ. And the past, and the future, and the present. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ بِهِ عِلْمًا. All that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed it with His knowledge. Everything. وذكر الله عز وجل العلم والقدرة بعد العلم والقدرة بعد الخلق لأن الخلق لا يتم إلا بعلم وقدرة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned at the end of the verse knowledge and power or ability after the creation, because the creation cannot be completed unless there's knowledge and power. Knowledge to make it in the way it is, and power to be able to carry out that particular knowledge. Wa alaykum as-salam. Ahlan. وَدَلَالَةُ الْخَلْقِ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ وَالْقُدْرَةِ مِنْ بَابِ دَلَالَةِ التَّلَازُمِ وَقَدْ سَبَكَ أَنَّ دَلَالَاتِ الْأَسْمَاءِ عَلَى الصِّفَاتِ ثَلَاثَةِ أَنْوَاعِ. He says, so anyways, the indications about the creation indicate, يعني when Allah mentions the creation, you automatically understand knowledge and power. Because without the first, these things will not be able to happen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hasha lillah, Allah is above what were the example, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have the power, then the heavens and the earth could not be created. If Allah didn't have knowledge, then there may be some discrepancy, there may be some issues. But both of these are not the case. You know, Allah does not have any deficiency, so consequently, you see that everything is in perfect harmony and through the power and the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His knowledge. طيب تنبيه ذكر في تفسير الجلالين عفى الله عنه وعنه في آخر سورة المائدة منصه وقص العقل ذاته ليس عليه بقادر. Here the Shaykh dealt with a quotation that was mentioned in تفسير الجلالين. Maybe some of you know this particular tafsir. It's a very common tafsir, Arabic tafsir of the Quran. Anyways, the Mu'allif rahimahullah had made a particular statement that the Shaykh dealt with here, and he refuted that this is something that should not be mentioned. We will bypass that since it may be irrelevant to us, inshallah. طيب وفي هذه الآيات من صفات الله تعالى إثبات عموم علم الله على وجه التفصيل وإثبات عموم قدرة الله تعالى. So what do we benefit from these ayat in terms of the attributes of Allah? Okay? The affirming the encompassment of the knowledge of Allah in great detail. And we mentioned, right? You remember the verse that there isn't even a leaf that falls, huh? In the darkness of the earth, or even a grain. Everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything in great detail. Mentioned in the Quran. وأثبات عموم قدرة الله تعالى, and also affirming the encompassment of Allah's power and ability, where Allah's control is over everything. There's nothing that can go out of the domain, huh? Or the dominion of the heavens and the earth, as in Surah Al-Rahman. يا معشر الجن والإنس إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا لا تنفذوا إلا بسلطان. Allah addressed the jinn and the ins, if we're able to escape the dominions of the heavens and the earth, do so. You will never be able to do so unless with the sultan, with power given to you by Allah. And Allah did not give us this power. So no one on the Day of Judgment, and this verse is in the context of the Day of Judgment, not as some modern people interpreted that this is in reference to the people being able to make it to space, and they said that this is in the Quran in Surah Al-Rahman, and they used this ayah to prove that when the son of Adam was able to make it to the moon, it is a manifestation of this verse. Because Allah said, you cannot leave the dominions of the heavens and the earth except with the sultan, authority from Allah. And they said that sultan is knowledge. So when they made it to the moon, they were able to leave the boundaries. But the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah has a treatise where he deals with this particular verse, and he corrects this misunderstanding that this verse is not applicable to this scientific theory, because they're trying to understand the Quran according to the science. He said rather the context of the verse deal with the Day of Judgment. This is on the Day of Judgment. No one will be able to run away. On the Day of Judgment, no human being, nothing, will be able to find some outlet, some door open outside of the power and the dominion of Allah, where he would just leave and say, okay, no accountability for me. You see what I'm saying? So this is what is intended by that. والفائدة المسكية من الإيمان بالعلم والقدرة قوة مراقبة الله والخوف منه. What is the practical benefit that we get from this, from the knowledge of these attributes of Allah, which is dealing with Allah's knowledge and Allah's power or ability, is that we should be more, the strength of being mindful of Allah. You'd be more mindful of Allah and more fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you know that you cannot escape. Allah has total control over you and power. Knowledge of everything that you do, the sin that we commit, Allah knows about it. And after we commit the sin, Allah has the ultimate control and power to take revenge, if Allah will to do so. So when you know this, you worry. Huh? You say, I better take it easy, because I am exposing myself to the danger zone. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and He has the ability. If he didn't know, that's one thing. And if he didn't have the ability, that's another thing. But both of these are not the case. He knows, and he has the power to take revenge or to make us pay the consequences of our sin. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. There isn't a single calamity or disaster that befalls upon you except that which you have earned with your own hands. So we actually, whatever problems that happen to us, are usually the earnings of our own hands in disobedience. So this is an indication that Allah knows about them, and Allah is treating us accordingly. وَقَوْلُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقَ. And the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Dhariyat, verse 58. Now this verse, he was just recited by the Imam in the Salah, for those who were here for the Salah. And of course everybody should know the ayah in Surah Al-Dhariyat, which is like no da'ya can really be a da'iyah without knowing ayah in Surah Al-Dhariyat. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create jinn and ins except to worship me. Ins are human beings, jinn, they're a creation made of smokeless flame, and they are accountable like we are accountable, and they also are expected to follow the messenger and be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so forth. Everybody knows them, and shayateen are from jinn. The shayateen of jinn are from jinn, and there's shayateen from ins as well. Shayateen min al-jinnati wal nas, both have shayateen. So when you try to be a good Muslim, you get this shaytan of ins. Say, now you're mutawwi', what happened, man? You used to be cool, we used to have fun with each other, now you're going to be, Shaykh al-Islam. He start giving you whispers, A'udhu Billah. Come on, man, let's go back to a coffee shop, go back to the shisha, go back to the old days. Come on, you're becoming too difficult to hang out with. Come on, you're not fun anymore. Shaytan, A'udhu Billah, trying to mislead you from the path of Allah until he take you to Jahannam with him. Huh? حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَنَا قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ بُعْدَ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ فَبِئْسَ الْقَرِينَ. Allah says in the Quran, on the Day of Judgment, when they come, they will say, he will tell him, I wish the distance between me and you was like the distance between the two easts. فَبِئْسَ الْقَرِينَ. What a terrible company. What a terrible friend. Then the dunya, it may be your buddy. But on the Day of Judgment, you will want to run away from him, and he would want to run away from you, and each one will start blaming the other one for being the source of misguidance. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. The friends on the Day of Judgment will be foes, enemies to one another, except al-muttaqeen, except those who are friends in the taqwa of Allah. the brother was telling you, come, you know, to this, let's go to this dars, let's go to this lecture, let's study this. These ones will remain friends in the dunya and in the hereafter. But the friendship that was based on other things, they will become enemies on the Day of Judgment. So let's make sure we keep our friendship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّقُ. Verily Allah is the all provider. Rizq is sustenance, you know, provision. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of that. الرزاق. And this is the sighat al-mubalagha, يعني this is indicates abundance. Okay? Because there's الرازق, right? The provider. الرزاق is the all provider. It indicates abundance, a lot, ample sustenance being given. So this is why the الرزاق came in this context. في هذه الآية إثبات صفة القوة لله عز وجل. In this ayah, there's the sign or the affirming the attribute of power to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وجاءت هذه الآية بعد قوله وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدوني ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أي يطعمون. And I did not create jinn and ins except to worship me. And the ulama of tafsir and others, they say ليعبدون أي ليوحدون. يعبدون means يوحدون. You must say that because you يوحدون, to single me out in worship. Because you get some funny people who will worship Allah and worship others with him. He will pray 5 times a day and he will go to the grave for the rest of the day. And he will worship Allah and worship others with Allah. So then this verse is not applicable to them. You see, it must be singling Allah out in worship. Allah is the only one you ask of. You know, you need something that relating to your life, benefit or harm, you must turn to Allah. You cannot turn to the creation of Allah, not the living nor the dead. Yes, I could tell a brother, hand me a cup of water, huh? This is not what is intended. We're dealing with things of health and wealth and iman and guidance and jannah and nar, you know, Allah's forgiveness, Allah's pleasure. You don't ask it from human beings. You don't ask someone to tell Allah to forgive me. You know, you do it yourself. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yourself. So, لِيَعْبُدُونَ أَيْ لِيُوَحِدُونَ, to single me out in worship. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَيْ يُطْعِمُونَ. I do not ask him of sustenance. And I do not ask him to feed me. Now, sometimes if you really ponder upon this verse, you'll find that this is really interesting. Look at the context. Allah says, I did not create jinn and ins except to worship me. Well, now what is usually the most common reason why people do not dedicate themselves to worship? Trying to make money. Huh? Trying to make money. The brother got a business open, especially outside this country. In this country, they close it down whether you like it or not. But you go to other countries, the brother got a business running, and it's salah time. You tell him, ya akhi, salah in the masjid. He says, man, business. I lose customers. If I close the shop, of course this is, if you've been out elsewhere, this is very common. I will lose customers. Jumu'ah, every day, it doesn't matter. Customers is what matters. The moment the customer making money. But the salah, although the verse says, I did not create jinn except to worship me, Allah does not want you to sustain him or to feed him. So stop worrying about making so much money. Allah is the one who gives you. You fulfill the worship and you will get the second part of the verse. You do the job of worshiping Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. It is Allah the one who provides and sustains, not you opening during salah time. And this is misconception that a Muslim has. We should really understand this. How do you want to get sustenance from Allah while you're disobeying Him? You think that customer is going to be a barakah for you? It's going to be a troublesome customer. And you may pay more money on him than the money you make from him. Because you are favoring the dunya over the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the reason why you were created. Anyways, the Shaykh will elaborate on that inshaAllah. This is Surah Al-Dhariyat, verses 56 and 57. We must memorize these particular verses in Arabic, in English, in Urdu, in Chinese, in any language that you speak.
You put 58.
Okay. No, 56 and 57, what I quoted. Then, Inna Allahu wa Razzaq, which is the last one, is 58. But right now I quoted other verses, the ones before. فَالنَّاسُ يَحْتَاجُونَ إِلَىٰ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ أَمَّا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ رِزْقًا وَلَا أَن يُطْعِمُهُ. So the humans are in need of the sustenance of Allah, whereas Allah, the Exalted, does not need sustenance from them, nor does He need them to feed Him, عز وجل. الرزاق. صيغة مبالغة من الرزق وهو العطاء. It said it's an exaggerated derivative from the word risk, indicating abundance, and it means عطاء, giving, giving. قال تعالى وإذا حضر القسمة أولو القربى واليتامى والمساكين فارزقوهم منه. And when the relatives and the orphans and the poor are present, so فارزقوهم منه, so give them from it, sustain them from it. So the word فارزقوهم was used to indicate that رزق يعني means عطاء, giving. So give the poor and the orphans if they happen to be present when the, this is in the context of dividing the inheritance. If they are the, you know, the poor and the orphans, give them a little money, huh? So because they sit in there, their hearts are looking forward to seeing all this money and the wealth being distributed, and there may be something in their hearts. So in order to remove that ache in their heart, give them a little something. فَرْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْ. So provide them, give them from it. So he's trying to show you where the word rizq means. أي أعطوهم, meaning give them. والإنسان يسأل الله تعالى في صلاته ويقول اللهم ارزقني. He said, and the slave asks Allah in his salah and he says, oh Allah, provide me or give me. Who knows when? When do you say this in the salah? Time out. When do you say اللهم ارزقني in the salah?
Between the
سجدتين. أحسنت. اللهم اغفر لي وعافني واهدني واجبرني وارزقني. There's more than one narrative, but basically there is a dua, and the least you do is ربي اغفر لي, ربي اغفر لي twice between the سجدتين. Important that you include that in your salah, because some of the scholars think that this is something that must be part of the salah.
اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني.
أيوة. اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني وعافني. أيوة. Same thing. You could say this one. The sunnah is whenever something has been authentically attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you have more than one format, the sunnah is that you do all. You use them. You change them to revive the sunnah. So the salah will not become boring, where you say the same thing again without being mindful. So when you change around, you benefit. For example, dua al-istiftah, the opening of the salah. There's around 5-6 of them that Prophet ﷺ used to say in the beginning of the salah. Right? Huh? Who knows some? Allahumma ba'id bayni bayna khataya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. اللهم نقني من خطايا كما ينقى الطوب الابيض من الدلس. اللهم اغسلنا خط لا
كم
لا لا دقيقه ضيعت انا. Whenever I try to quote them like this, I forget them.
سبحانك اللهم.
No, that's another one. The first one was three sentences. اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطايا كما بعدت بين المشرق والمغرب.
اللهم نقني
خطايا كما ينقى الطوب الابيض من الدنس. اللهم اغسلني من خطايا بالماء الثلج والبرد. That's one دعاء استفتاح. Another one is سبحانك اللهم بحمدك تبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. Another one is الحمد الله أكبر كبيرة والحمد لله كثيرة وسبحان الله بكرة وأصيلة. Another one is I don't remember them right now. Anyways, إبراهيم. طيب, you're making the task on me, huh? It should be the other way around. You should look them up for the brothers and you should send them to me. ما في مشكلة. المهم, there's more than one authentic narration. So the sunnah is that you... The sunnah is that you use all of them. One day you say also the Salat al-Ibrahimiyyah. Similarly, you have more than one wording of the hadith. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم. There's another one كما صليت على آل إبراهيم alone. There's another كما, يعني there's also around maybe 10 of them. Different, yes? There's a little book about in Arabic that has all of them actually. You go refer to the book of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. They don't have it in English. المهم, this is available online. I'm sure you will find this online. Many of them are in Bukhari, these particular narratives. So you will find that there are a number of ways, huh? To the different adhkar, even in ruku', huh? Subbuhan Quddus Rabbu al-Malaika wal-Ruh. Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. Subhan Rabbi al-Azim bihamdi. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. La. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika. La. Subhanak. La. It's not like this. Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ started saying this after Surah was revealed. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح. ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك Anyways, I cannot get it right now. SubhanAllah, whenever you try to use these things, they don't come. Alhamdulillah, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muhim, we need to learn them and apply them. Huh? One day you say this, one salah you say this, one salah you say that. In the same salah, one rak'ah you say this, one rak'ah you say that. Some of them say in the same rak'ah you use them, all of them. You say this one and that one and that one. So don't, you know, be confined with the same Subhana Rabbiyal Azim only at the sujood, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. There are many different narrations from Prophet ﷺ about the things he used to say. The sunnah is that you revive them and you apply them all in your lives. A. Na'am. Al-Razzaq, then we said, so we ask Allah in the salah, Allahumma arzuqni, this is between the sajdatain, in the jalsa between the sajdatain. وَيَنْقَسِمُ الرِّزْقُ إِلَىٰ قِسْمَيْنِ عَامٌ وَخَاصٌ. Sustenance is divided into two categories. General, عام, وخاص, specific. General and specific. What does that mean? We will see. فَالْعَامْ كُلُّ مَا يَنْتَفِعُ بِهِ الْبَدَنِ. General is everything that is beneficial for the body, your body. سَوَاءٌ كَانَ حَلَالًا أَوْ حَرَامًا. Irrelevant, whether irrespective whether it is halal, lawful or haram, unlawful. سَوَاءٌ كَانَ الْمَرْزُوقُ مُسْلِمًا أَوْ كَافِرًا. And regardless of whether the one being sustained is a believer or a disbeliever, or an unbeliever. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ السَّفَارِينِ. This is a, I guess, an alim or a poet. وَالرِّزْقُ مَا يَنْفَعُ مِنْ حَلَالٍ أَوْ ضِدَّهُ فَحُلٌّ عَنِ الْمَحَالِ لِأَنَّهُ رَازِقٌ كُلَّ الْخَلْقِ وَلَيْسَ مَخْلُوقٌ بِغَيْرِ رِزْقِ. Anyways, this is a poem indicating that there isn't a creation regardless of halal or haram, except that it is being sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believer and the disbeliever, and whether the sustenance he makes in halal means or haram means. This is the general risk that all the creation falls under. لأنك لو قلت إن الرزق هو العطاء الحلال لكان كل الذين يأكلون الحرام لم يرزقوا. He said, because if you say the risk is only that which was given in halal, then you're saying that all these who are eating from haram are not being sustained. Is this the case? No, they're being sustained. Even the one who's making money out of riba, who's giving him the money? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's his choice, right? And Allah gave him according to his choice, and Allah will hold him accountable for that. It doesn't mean it's Allah's pleased with him that Allah has given him that, because Allah told him it's haram. But if he continued on his ways and he wants to favor the dunya over the akhirah, Allah says, "Man kana yuridu al-ajilata, ajjalna lahu fiha ma nasha liman nurid." Whoever wishes for this quick passing life, we will readily give him as much as we want to whomever we want. So Allah said, "We'll give them the dunya." Huh? Then Allah said, "We will prepare for him Jahannam. In the hereafter, he will enter there thereof disgraced and humiliated." وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. And whosoever desires the hereafter, and he strives for it while he's a believer, then verily those, their striving will be appreciated. It will be rewarded accordingly. So Allah will give the disbeliever and the disobedient from him, but that doesn't mean that it's halal. It's still haram. مع أن الله أعطاهم ما تصلح به أبدانهم لكن الرزق نوعان طيب وخبيث. So although Allah has given them that which is good for their bodies, so we say, the Shaykh said, but because sustenance is of two kinds, طيب, good, خبيث, evil. خبيث, which is not good, the opposite of طيب, which is good. ولهذا قال تعالى قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق. Say, who has made forbidden the adornment of Allah that He has brought out for His servants, and the goodness from the sustenance? And this was in context of those who say something that Allah made halal, they want to make it haram. There are some extreme Muslims as well. There are lenient Muslims who make the haram halal, and there are extreme Muslims who get something halal and say it's haram. You cannot eat this, you cannot do that. Why? Allah, you should just stay away from it. I think you cannot come and make shara on your own here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it halal, you cannot make it haram. If Allah provided someone with a lot of money and they want to live in a nice house, you cannot tell them this is haram for you to live here. But this is money. The guy got millions of riyals. You want him to live in a small, tiny, in a car? He has money, it is right. Don't be extravagant. But extravagance is relevant to the spender. To some people, you know, the money, yani if he has so much money, spending, you know, some money on a car is very normal to his salary, his budget. To you, this may be, whoa, you know, this is beyond me. So this idea also is relevant. Of course, we're not trying to encourage extravagance, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who are extravagant, those who spend money carelessly, you know. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Those are the brothers of the devils, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. But also this is relevant to the brother's income. You know, you don't expect a brother who makes, you know, 50,000 riyals a month to be driving a Toyota Tercel. Huh? You expect him to be driving a car that is in accordance with his sustenance. And similarly, someone who doesn't have money shouldn't be driving a car, you know, that is a Mercedes, borrowing money from the brother. Akhi, please, I need 5,000 riyals. He goes to seven people, you know, he gets 5,000 riyals from everyone, then the next day he's driving a Mercedes. Talking about, brother, can you give me 5 riyals to put gas in my car? Say, come on, man, are you driving a Mercedes trying to take me somewhere, asking me for money for your gas? Why? Drive a bicycle. You don't have to ask anyone for anything. So anyways, people should keep it within their own limitations. Don't go overboard. But the idea is then there's halal and haram. Don't make haram what Allah made halal. And don't make halal what Allah made haram. And this is in Surah Al-A'raf verse 32.
Surah Tahreem.
There is something big. Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Tahreem. Hey, the Prophet ﷺ. لِمَا تُحَرِّمَا أَيْوَ نَعْمَ. I'm not going to quote the verse, I don't have it memorized. Hey, the Prophet ﷺ, he had an issue with his wives and he made something haram for him that Allah made halal, and he was reprimanded sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, hey, he was doing it out of his good character and trying to be kind to his wives, unlike the way we are to our wives, Allah musta'an. But still, when it came to this, you know, and these are, by the way, signs. SubhanAllah, even these events that happen are an indication that the Prophet ﷺ is the messenger of Allah and he did not write the Quran. Because no one will reprimand himself in the Quran. Huh? The beginning of Surah Abasa wa Tawalla. And this is clear, you know. Yet if someone was writing his own book, he wouldn't even mention that, man. He would be speaking about his daughter, Fatima. Huh? His wife, Khadija, Aisha. He wouldn't be speaking about Maryam. How many times Maryam was mentioned in the Quran? How many times Jesus? How many times? 25 times. So this is an indication. The Prophet Muhammad, those who claim that Prophet ﷺ wrote the Quran, why would he be speaking about other people? Why would he be reprimanding himself and saying, why do you make forbidden that which Allah made lawful for you? Why would this happen? He would try to see the best in your book. But this is all sign that Prophet ﷺ was given this Quran. And look at this, his amana, his trustworthiness in delivering the message. You know, maybe one of us, if we were reprimanded, we would hide the verse. See, I don't want to, you know, get embarrassed in front of my companions. But he, alayhi salatu wasalam, although the verse was reprimanding him, he would go out and quote it to his companions. And they would memorize it and recite it in the Quran. So this is just to show you that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no joke. You know, this is from Allah, preserved, protected, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered the message. Allahumma ala hal balagt. He used to say the khutbah al-wada'. Oh Allah, did I not convey? إِذَا قَالُوا نَعَمْ قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ اشْهَدْ. Oh Allah, bear witness. Hey, عليه الصلاة والسلام. طيب. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ وَالرِّزْقِ أَمَّا الْخَبَائِثِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ فَهِيَ حَرَامٌ. So anyways, and he did not say only sustenance. يعني meaning the evil of sustenance, that is haram. يعني the way that the people earn it. Otherwise, everything is from Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and last. We can go for a couple of more minutes, inshallah. أَمَّا الرِّزْقُ الْخَاصِ فَهُوَ مَا يَقُومُ بِهِ الدِّينِ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ النَّافِعِ وَالْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ وَالرِّزْقُ الْحَلَالِ الْمُعِينُ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. The specific kind of sustenance, which is the one that is more relevant to us, inshallah, is whatever the deen, our religion, is established by, from beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. And sustenance that will aid you, halal sustenance that will aid you in obedience to Allah. So beneficial knowledge, this is rizq from Allah. And righteous deeds is rizq from Allah. And whatever else you get as means of aiding you to worship Allah, it may be a car that would help you go, you know, to the durus, to the masjid. It may be a wife, a sustenance from Allah, a wife that will help you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will aid you in da'wah, will help you, will be there for you as your backup. All these are sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a special kind of sustenance strictly for the believers. the disbelievers are disqualified. They get the general kind of sustenance, food and drink and things of the sort, and a wife which will take him to Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. As for the believer, it's the other way around. ولهذا جاءت الآية الكريمة الرزاق. That's why the ayah says الرزاق, which we said is indication of abundance, a lot. ولم يقل الرازق, he did not say the provider, because that is lesser in strength. لكثرة رزقه وكثرة من يرزقه, because the abundance of the sustenance of Allah and the abundance of those who are sustained, both the sustenance itself and those who are being sustained. Everything is being sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heavens and the earth and the sun and the moon, and you know, the human beings and the animals and the plants, everything is being sustained by Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's a lot. And the sustenance is a lot. So that's why Ar-Razzaq is befitting, obviously, in this context. فَالَّذِي يَرْزُقُهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَا يُحْصَى بِاعْتِبَارِ أَجْنَاسِهِ. So those whom are being provided by Allah, you cannot enumerate them, because in terms of kinds. How many things? Allah knows. So many things that we don't even know about. Creation that we don't even know about. Just the other day, 2 days ago, on one of the websites, they discovered a new species. A brand new species in among the animals that they didn't even know about. Just recently. So there are things that we still don't know, that they continue to discover being sustained by Allah. So we cannot enumerate them. You cannot say Allah, you know, this, this and that, you will go on forever. فَضْلًا عَنْ أَنْوَاعِهِ, يعني, even the kinds, the kinds of creation and the kinds within the creation, like the species and then the kinds among them, different insects. Yeah, how many insects you have?
Subspecies.
Hey, subspecies. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khairan. Fadlan an ahadihi, let alone each individual creation, will we be able to enumerate them? How many ants are there? How many flies? How many bees? And so forth. لأن الله تعالى يقول وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها ويعلم مستقرها عفوا ومستودعها. In Surah Hud verse 6, Allah says there isn't a dabba. Dabba, كل ما يدب على الأرض. Everything that moves upon earth, whether it moves on its belly or on its 2 feet like the humans, or 4 feet like the other animals, or 6 like insects and so forth. There isn't anything that moves upon this earth except that it is upon Allah, is the sustenance of this particular thing. Everything, it's upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sustain it. وَيُعْتِ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ بِحَسَبِ الْحَالِ. And Allah provides according to the situation, according to need. Then each thing is given proportionally, right? Even sustenance is proportional to the need of the creation by the ultimate wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will leave this discussion here, which is very interesting. He said the question, he said, if someone was to ask, if Allah is the one who sustains, He's the all provider, shall I go after, shall I strive to earn my sustenance, or I should stay at home and then my sustenance is going to come to me because it has been decreed that I will receive the sustenance. Okay, so why should I go to work? I just wait that somehow the one day the window will open and just some money will fly in. Huh? Some people may believe that this is the way it happens, or he plants a tree, you know, they call it the money tree. And you know, you just, money starts growing and you just pick it up and you go downstairs and buy. No, it doesn't happen this way. But the Shaykh will give us some information about this, which we will leave inshallah ta'ala till next week. In the meantime, whatever I said that was correct was success given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the benefit inshallah of the present, those who are present. And whatever errors I made, which I'm sure there are plenty of them, we don't claim perfection in this. I just want to remind you again, you know, there may be some deficiency, discrepancy, mistakes, errors. You know, this is just all I have to provide, all I have to give. I don't have anything better than that. So just bear with me. Whatever things that are not right, just disregard them and try to get whatever you think is good, inshallah, and beneficial for you. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakumullah khairan.